With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. Interviews, news, and views. You're listening to State of the Nation with Brian McClain, Dan Mitchell, and Lynn Shaw on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
All right, welcome to State of the Nation. We're live from Central Texas, New York, and wherever the heck Dan might be. Welcome. We are live here via TNT Radio, today's News Talk. Find us on the internet at tntradio.live. Call-in lines are open if you'd like to call in. The number is on the website and also noted during the breaks. And I'm here with Dan Mitchell. I believe Lynn Shaw will be joining us shortly. Dan, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine. I'm coming to you from Chesapeake, Virginia.
All right. Chesapeake, Virginia today for State of the Nation. Excellent. So, Dan, it looks like the Nashville shooting story is not going away. It's there's a lot of information out there today, and we've got a guest or two we're going to talk about this with a little bit. But one of the things that I noted yesterday was, yesterday when it first happened, it very, very first happened, I wrote down a list of predictions, and here's a couple of them. The details of the story will change significantly. Check. That happened while we were live yesterday. My next prediction was a particular type of gun or gun accessory, which the Biden admin and the Biden ATF want to ban, will have been used. And then I said pistol braced AR question mark. Check. Yes, that happened also. And then I said the suspect will be a known wolf to authorities or to a school. Check. That happened. Let's see. There will be a social media aspect come to light, sort of a little bit. They went ahead and ghosted all those right afterward, but they are floating around. And then I said, mental health status will be overlooked or used as a narrative prop. That is ongoing. And the other one I said is manifesto will be found. And they pretty much, went according to what I expected here with the development of, the events here, Dan.
Well, it sounds to me like you should have been a baseball player because your batting average is so good, you would have been in the All-Star game.
probably right.
I am not a gun expert, but I strongly believe in the Second Amendment. And to see all of this break out with predictable calls from the White House for more restrictions on the Second Amendment, what I say to my left of center friends is, okay, there are over 300 million guns in the United States. We know that bad people are not going to turn in their guns. So at most, if you do any sort of gun ban, some law-abiding people will turn in their guns. And then if there are bad people that don't have guns, will they find them on the black market? Of course they will. They find illegal drugs on the black market. You can find everything on the black market. So I don't know that there's a solution to this problem. We have some mentally ill, mentally disturbed people in our country who do these almost copycat things because it's a way of getting notoriety. So it's pretty depressing to think about, but I know gun control won't be the answer.
Yeah, it's an impossible utopia for those liking the gun control lobby. Like you said, there's over 300 million of these things in this country. This country was founded by armed people, and it's part of the framework of the country. And I do not understand why people think that it's even an achievable thing to disarm this country. It's not like, they had a... Australia was basically disarmed after a highly publicized mass shooting event. And that's a different story, you know. Same with like places like Canada and other countries that sort of are used as the poster child for gun control, UK as well. Like, it is a completely different story here. You don't have enough authorities on the planet to disarm this country. So, it looks like Lynn's joining us also. Yeah, go ahead. Lynn, are you there? Just want to sound check you real quick.
Live from New York City. I am here.
All right. Excellent. So Lynn, I know you're just jumping in here, but Dan and I were talking a little bit about the idea, just the general idea of gun control and how impossible it is in a country that was founded with gun rights and has over probably, I think the 300 million is an old figure, like a pre-2020 figure, and they have sales have gone up, 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 and up since then. So kind of a lost cause if you really think you can disarm America.
Well, I think the last time I saw something fairly recently, it said in excess of 350 million in the United States. And we don't have a gun problem. We have a mental illness problem and crazy people problem. And that's what we need to address. We do not have a gun problem.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right. Well, you guys, time flies when you're having fun here. So let me remind the audience, did you know there are many ways you can listen to TNT Radio? You can stream us direct from our website on your desktop, tablet, or mobile device, or download our app from the App Store. And we, of course, stream live on YouTube, Rumble, and Odyssey, because we've got you covered on TNT Radio.
Breaking down the headlines.
It's the news I trust.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
In a self-described effort to tackle advanced AI bots plaguing Twitter, Elon Musk has announced that starting April 15th, only verified users will have access to certain features, including the ability to be seen on the platform's recommendation timeline. Here with the story, joining us now is TNT Radio news producer Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus. Musk announces shakeup for Twitter verified users. Go ahead. We can't wait to get to this story. I'm jumping all over everything.
He's kind of had this thing I've noticed. It's like a pattern of his where like everything that he wants to do or moves forward with is in the name of combating AI. Take, for example, his Neuralink. So here we are again with that sort of thing, except in this case, he appears to be, I don't know, is this a money move? You guys tell me. So Elon Musk has touted Twitter's paid Blue subscription plan as providing users with additional benefits while helping to prevent AI bots from taking over the platform, as he describes it. In a March 27th Twitter post, Musk said all users will now need a verified account if they want to be eligible to vote in polls or be recommended on the platform's For You page, which displays a stream of tweets from accounts on Twitter, including those that users don't necessarily follow. Users who wish to appear on the recommended feed and vote in polls will need to be verified by April 15th, Musk said. Quote, starting on April 15, only verified accounts will be eligible to be in For You For You recommendations, Musk tweeted. This is the only realistic way to address advanced AI bot swarms taking over. It is otherwise a hopeless losing battle. Voting in polls will require verification for the same reason, end quote. Musk clarified that AI bots will still be allowed to pay for verification via the Blue subscription plan, as long as they don't impersonate a human. Color me confused. Quote, that said, it's okay to have verified bot accounts if they follow terms of service and don't impersonate a human, end quote. That's what he said. Twitter announced on March 23rd that it would begin, quote unquote, winding down its legacy blue check marks for all users on the platform starting April 1st. So if you have an old legacy blue check mark, say goodbye to it pretty soon. Prior to Musk acquiring Twitter in October for $44 billion, now I hear it's valued at 20, Twitter users such as celebrities, politicians, government officials, journalists, or other accounts of public interest were able to get verification badges for free as long as they met certain criteria, which for some people that was hard to actually get, actually. However, Musk had complained that the process to get accounts verified was often difficult, thank you, Elon, and convoluted, that the blue check marks were handed out in a, quote, corrupt and nonsensical way, end quote. So, so under the Blue subscription plan, just in case nobody remembers or cares or forgot, it's $8 a month in the United States for verification. So there you go. Oh, but it's going to cost you more if you're on the iOS app. I guess it's $11 per month for some reason, but there you go.
Well, let me just jump in and say one thing. Money, 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 money. That's what it's all about. And the rest with the verified bots, the verified this, we're discussing blue check marks. Always follow the money trail. I say it's about the money. Dig behind a little bit. But that's basically it. What do you think, Brian?
I liked his attitude more when it was like, we're going to de-botify Twitter. Like, I was excited about having a Twitter with no bots in it and at least an effort from the company to remove all bots. I know that's easier said than done when it comes down to the actual IT task. And that is a workload that I frankly don't have enough information to analyze. But I gotta kind of agree with you there, Lynn. It sounds to me like this is about making the company profitable, and I can't fault Musk for wanting to make the company profitable because the company was not profitable. It was not even a company. Twitter 1.0 meant nothing to me in the sense that I suspected between 2017 and 2023 or 2022 that it was nothing more than a front for a government censorship platform and propaganda platform. And then, got called tinfoil hat guy for making those claims for all those years. And then when he took over, the big dumps started happening and it came out that myself and others who thought that way were correct, 100% correct, that it was even worse than we thought. They were not interested in making money. They were strictly interested in managing narrative and pumping propaganda and censoring people. So, you know, I still think this is an upgrade. Yeah. And I don't fault him for needing to bring revenue into the system. But I do have new concerns based on, you know, where they're headed now. But it's an improvement from where we were before. But I still think it's not a trustworthy environment completely.
None of the big tech platforms. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me jump in because I'm actually a legacy blue check mark. So I have to figure out, is it worth, what's 8 times 12? Is it worth $96 a year? I have no idea what I would get for that. But I definitely prefer the idea of an uncensored, open Twitter. I do agree with you, Brian, that Musk has to make money. He doesn't have to, but he wants to. And that's, what every business owner wants to do. And it probably is costly to monitor and figure out an algorithm that can weed out the bots and things like that. But on the other hand, I can understand if some buddy someplace wants to pay $96 a year to have a bot registered on Twitter, he's probably happy to take that money. Who knows what's going to happen in the future? But I agree with you that we're probably better off with the modern Twitter than what we had before, where you had all these social justice warriors at Twitter shadow banning or explicitly banning people who had views that they didn't like.
You know, I think we're going to have a lot of bots that are paid for, and I still think we'll have a lot of bots. But I just wanted to point something out that I've noticed. Have you noticed how Elon Musk will make some sort of great announcement that he's going to do something? Take control of something, get rid of child, predation. He makes these huge announcements and then it kind of simmers down. And about 2 weeks later, he does something totally just from the business world, to make a buck or, cutting the staff or something like that. I think it's just, I use a wrestling term here. It's a work, W-O-R-K, if you're into wrestling at all. And I think he's got the goods on us. And again, it's all about making money. And again, in America, I don't blame anybody in this whole media environment, big tech environment, trying to make a buck, but I don't trust the whole story.
Yeah, same here. And, the primary goal for any tech owner, I've said this before, but the primary goal is to keep people on the platform. And one of the best ways to keep people on the platform is to keep them outraged. And on Twitter, I will admit, I see a lot of people having fun now with their outrage, okay? Enjoying an added level of free speech and less self-censorship, knowing that they'll probably be able to keep their account. So in that sense. You know, if people are spending more time on Twitter and enjoying themselves more than they would, say, watching a streaming service that costs about the same amount, again, I can't blame him for it. But, you know, my concerns are a little bit deeper. Okay, anything else on this ruckus?
Based on what Lynn said, I'm starting to think Musk would make a decent politician.
Yes.
actually, real quick, I did find this interesting, so I'll just leave you guys with this one thought. The reasoning for him doing this is he wants to build trust. The whole idea is that he wants to be, well, as he predicts, that it's the only platform you can trust. So I find it interesting that now, like, because that's a lot, that's what we're seeing with everything. There's this dissolution of trust in establishment systems, governments, you name it. Everyone's losing trust. So he's trying to reestablish trust at a cost. Interesting.
But Ruckus, if I can jump in there, if my understanding is that if I don't pay money to maintain my blue check mark, somebody else can register as Daniel Mitchell, pay $8 a month, and portray themselves as me. That's not going to create a lot of trust. Or what's to stop someone from saying they're Joe Biden or Ted Cruz or whoever, or they can say they're a movie star. So I do think that there should be some process. And again, that would cost money, and he doesn't want to spend money because he wants to make a profit. But if you wind up with a system where people can be very misleading, deliberately misleading, I don't think that's going to build trust in Twitter.
I do think you have to sign up, though, with your phone number. It has to come directly to your phone. There is a little bit of verification, but as we know, that can also be fooled around with and broken into. But I think you do have to sign up with your phone and your personal email, something to that effect. Thanks, Ruckus. You're listening to State of the Nation, today's News Talk TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
This is hilarious. Insects have been touted from the World Economic Forum to the United Nations to CNN to governments around the world to the EU, which just approved cricket powders. And it's now coming. They're giving crickets to kids in school, in elementary school, as part of a psych-op. Well, guess what? Now the animal rights people are getting involved. They're demanding welfare standards for these bugs meant to save the planet from the human-caused climate crisis, because bugs have the capacity to feel pain and suffering. So you could imagine, why is it okay to eat a cow or an animal when bugs are the same thing? They're living creatures. How can we eat a living animal? And that's the question.
The Mark Morano Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
It's a conversation we have to have. It's a conversation about the state of the nation. Talk to us now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
We're joined by Dr. Anne DeMayo, and she is a graduate of Barnard College, Columbia University. She attended SUNY Downstate Medical School and completed her pediatric residency at New York Hospital Cornell Medical Center. She has three board certifications in pediatrics, pediatric emergency medicine, and child abuse. She has over 35 years of expertise in pediatrics, emergency medicine, child abuse, and child sex trafficking and exploitation, and has lectured extensively on both topics of abuse and trafficking. Welcome, Dr. DeMayo, to State of the Nation.
Thank you.
I wanted to start with Dr. DeMayo. Let's bring in, we have this story, top of the headlines with the shooting yesterday, and talking a bit about the mental health of youth and young people in 2023. What can you share with us that you're finding on the medical front with our young people today?
Well, what we have noticed is that we've seen an uptick in especially females, but the male kids too, is a lot of anxiety, depression. The kids were, you know, locked down because of COVID and they were isolated. They weren't going to school. They weren't seeing their friends. They weren't participating in sports, outside activities. And the kids were staying home. And so, I mean, there was a sense of isolation. And then we were putting a lot of fear into these kids. They were seeing, you know, the parents running around with masks on their face. And, you know, we had to have some masks, but then it was washing surfaces, washing their hands, putting on gloves. Then it was two masks. And I think the one thing that concerned me a lot was you were watching almost a death count on TV and on the news. It was how many people were getting infected? Oh, all these people were going to the ICU. Now all these people were dying. And every single moment, it was a death count for these children. And it's okay to teach kids about illness and precautions and vaccinations. It's very important to teach children to be healthy and take precautions. But this phenomenon of a death count, I think, was very detrimental to children. You know, again, teach children to be healthy, teach children about vaccinations, teach children about taking right. precautions. But a death count, yeah. I don't think that was a good way to approach this with children.
Let us jump in. There was a recent report, teen overdose deaths have doubled in 3 years, blaming fentanyl. Now, we know an alarming trend. There's a historic, now this is good news, decline in overall drug and alcohol use among high school students, but there is such an uptick about fentanyl. Let's talk about why it's so dangerous and what we should be on the lookout for.
Well, yes, it's true. You know, we did a good job of telling kids not to smoke. We've done a good job in trying to get alcohol down. And even actually for a while there, we were getting pill deaths down in kids and pill usage in kids, because for one thing, we weren't prescribing as many pills as physicians. You know, we stopped giving as many pills out to people. So kids weren't doing this. We know, I worked in an EPZR for years, and kids would have pill parties where they would go into the pharmacy and go into the medicine chest and get all the pills. And then they would take all their family's drugs and just have pill parties. And that stopped. But so we've actually educated kids and, you know, numbers came down. But again, I think what you're happening is, again, with this whole isolation of the kids, kids with the anxiety, with the upticking of kids sort of sitting in front of their computers, you've had kids now sort of self-medicating and experimenting, and they're going to the computers to experiment. You know, before basically kids would do some alcohol or kids would smoke a little bit of weed, you really weren't that concerned that your child was going to die from alcohol or weed. The problem now is the kids are getting on the computer and it's almost like ordering McDonald's. They're ordering drugs online. They may not be ordering fentanyl. They may be ordering their ADHD med, or they may be ordering a little bit of this or even a little bit of weed. And what's the problem is it's contaminated with fentanyl. Remember, when you get a drug from a pharmacy, it's being manufactured in a pharmaceutical company. It is pure. It is manufactured very carefully under hoods. People are gowned and gloved. Here, it's just manufactured in a lab. And sometimes if it's not that they're actually ordering fentanyl, it can be contaminated. And that's how these kids are getting poisoned.
This is Dan Mitchell. Let me ask you, why would an illegal drug dealer mix fentanyl with the other drugs they sell? It seems like that would have value to them selling to people who do want the fentanyl. Or are they mixing different drugs together and just sloppy?
Well, I think there's two things. I think they are giving fentanyl out because there are heroin addicts who want the fentanyl and they can tolerate the fentanyl. Remember, a heroin addict can do fentanyl and will tolerate it. These kids, I think, to some extent, are accidentally getting fentanyl. That's my point. I think some of these kids who are getting poisoned and dying from the fentanyl, actually, it's just contaminating, I think, some of the other drugs to some extent. That's one suggestion, is that they may actually be getting hydrocodone or oxycodone, and the fentanyl may be contaminating the manufacturing of the drugs. Remember, that's my point. You know, when you get a drug from Pfizer or Merck or some of these other companies, that is clean drug. You're getting only amoxicillin. You're getting only penicillin. You're getting only oxycodone. It's not contaminated with another drug. When you're getting it from these illicit labs, you really think they're cleaning their counters in between the drugs they're making? So sometimes I think the fentanyl is just contaminated, because it doesn't make sense for a drug dealer to kill off the people that they're trying to sell the drugs to. So I think there's some element of contamination. A drug addict who does heroin can tolerate fentanyl. A young kid who's never been exposed to a narcotic gets exposed to fentanyl, they can't tolerate it.
I want you to hold your thought, Dr. Ritchie, because, you know, I want to ask you about this ADD medication, because there's a shortage around the United States, and kids are reporting, and families, parents, that the medication being given when they do get it is not the same medication. And a lot of kids are going off the medication or having a lot of problems there. So we're going to grab a quick headline and we'll be back with State of the Nation.
Really big, 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 the biggest breaking news story. Big, gigantic, big, enormous.
TNT Radio News.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. The NHS has announced its COVID-19 app will be closing down soon as a result of a low number of people using the app. The threats facing some banks in the U.S. and Europe have the potential to trigger a global financial crisis, according to the CEO of Australia New Zealand Banking Group, Shane Elliott. Governments around the world are highly concerned about the fallout, which has already shaken investor confidence in certain segments of the banking industry.
Free speech is in our DNA.
Experimental vaccines will never change that.
Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Yeah, even there. Never miss out on the news and views of the big issues of the day. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio.
Or download the TNT Radio app for free.
From the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
We're talking with Dr. Ann DeMayo Ritchie, and we are talking about youth mental health, fentanyl, and now I want to ask about ADD medications. And why, first of all, there's such a lack of it in our country. Where is all of it? Why are so many kids on it? And the ones that are on it are reporting it's not having the same effects on them.
So
what can you tell us?
Part of the problem is we have dependence actually on sources for our medication from foreign nations. So that's probably our biggest problem, why we're seeing this concern that we're going to run out of medication. So that's something, you know, that's the issue. And then, you know, the whole, you know, supply chain is some of our medication sitting somewhere out in the California coast in a floating out there in the water. You know, that's going to be the issue. I think part of the problem is people are worried about generics, that, you know, if it says a brand name and then they're handed a generic, that might be something that concerns people. And, you know, you might look at your drug and all of a sudden the pill that was pink for your ADHD medicine suddenly is blue because it's a generic or it's a different company. And, you know, most of the time, most generics are for the most part just as good as the original drug. If you have a concern, two things: talk to your physician or talk to the pharmacist. Pharmacists are a wealth of information. And most of the time, if it's been a well-established drug by now, the generics usually are as good. But like I said, check with your doctor, check with your pharmacist. Sometimes what people do is they get anxious. All of a sudden, they see it's a different pill, it's a different color, and suddenly it's, oh my goodness, it's not the same drug, and it doesn't feel right. And a lot of time, that's just an anxiety feeling. Sometimes it tastes a little bit different. It's coated differently. It may not be a pill, it may be a capsule, it might be a different dye. And sometimes that can upset your stomach, and maybe it does make you feel a little different. But in general, the actual medication is the same. And if you sense a difference, talk to your doctor, talk to your pharmacist.
Said just like a doctor would say it, Dr. Ritchie. I know Brian wants to jump in, but I have to just get this in, because every headline I'm reading is about Ozempic and Wegovy and how everybody's buying this on the internet, including kids, to lose weight. And this is for diabetes, this medication. What can you tell us about that?
Well, that's doing like offline. That's taking a medicine that's really supposed to be used for diabetes and using it for weight loss. That's like taking Synthroid for people with hypothyroidism and then bouncing the drug up so that you can lose weight. That's a whole different thing. That's, in my mind anyway, misusing a drug or misappropriating a drug.
The kids are doing it. The teens are doing it. Their mothers are doing it. Everywhere I go, they're doing Wegovy.
That's kind of, in my opinion, misusing a drug, misappropriating, especially you're taking drugs away from diabetics who need that right. drug. And then we're going to have a paucity of the drug. It's like the kids who do ADHD to study for an exam. You know, are you really using that drug appropriately? You know, and that's right. going to be up for debate. Okay. Yes, sir. Somebody had
Brian.
A question.
Brian has a question, I think.
Dan's got a burning one. I'm going to let Dan take it.
Okay.
I read someplace that an incredibly high number of prescriptions are actually for these off-label uses. Now, I don't know whether the figure was correct, but it was like, you know, almost half are you know, because I guess the pharmaceutical companies don't want to go through the expense of getting FDA certification or whatever it would take for the new usage. But because it's a legal drug and doctors read the medical literature and they know it's useful for something else, it's legal to prescribe for off-label uses. And are you familiar with what share is actually of medicines are prescribed that way?
You know, I don't know. And I mean, we've done off-label, but you know, off-label is okay as long as it's appropriate. You know, we know that certain things can be used off-label when it's appropriate to a medical condition. But I don't know that, you know, you want to slip into a size 4 dress because you're a size 8 would be appropriate off-label use just because you want to go to the Academy Awards. That's not kind of a different thing. If it's off-label use because it's an obesity issue, that's another story. So you know what I'm saying? You have to get a fine line here between an appropriate off-label use and then sort of an inappropriate forced label use, if you're following my drift.
Yes.
Doctor, I'm curious about the new surge in this drug combination. They're calling it, it's really bad in Philly and in a couple other cities. Oh. Philly seems to be one of the nexuses. This Trank Dope, where they're taking xylazine horse tranquilizers and adding those to fentanyl. It makes a lot of people wonder, from what I can tell, if because you know you talked about black market pharmaceuticals and pills, and I think you're right, you know, and Dan asked a great question about that. I feel like there's a lot of variability, a lot of nuance, a lot of different motivations for those illicit drug makers. So I do believe that there's a lot of missing context and that we're dealing with a whole number of variable situations here. But when it comes to the Trank Dope, that almost seems like it is actually intended to poison the people that take it. And I don't understand why it would be cheaper for someone to go and acquire horse tranquilizers and add it to their street drugs. You know what I mean? It's kind of hard for me to understand the money-making push there. So I'm wondering if, you know, there may be some segment in these variabilities in these criminal people who actually want to hurt people with this stuff. What do you think about that?
I don't know. And it just seems like it's incredibly cruel to put this out on the street and to watch these people, you know, just basically just die in front of your eyes. And I you know, I mean, and it's coming from a specific market, which I don't understand, you know, is it being stolen? Who's getting their hands on this medicine and where is it coming from? I mean, we had this issue years ago with ketamine because ketamine originally came from the veterinarian market. It's in hospitals, it's pretty well controlled, but it was coming out of the veterinarian market originally when ketamine was out on the street. It wasn't coming out of the hospitals, it was coming out of the veterinarian market. So there is definitely this issue of where these drugs are being released from And who's experimenting with them? And I agree with you. I mean, there's some bizarre black market for these drugs. And who would come up with this idea and experimenting with them?
I mean, it certainly seems, yeah, like the poisoning of America. And I have relatives in Philadelphia, and I'm there quite frequently. And people are literally, and I mean this, on the streets, just passed out, laying all over. And I'm talking about Center City and bordering onto Rittenhouse Square, which, you know, is one of the best areas in Philadelphia. And it's the saddest thing to see people all over the streets like that. We don't even see that here in New York. Wherever they are in New York, they're putting them somewhere else. But Philadelphia, we don't talk about it a lot in the media. It is in a very, very bad shape. Let me finish up with you, Dr. Ritchie, with a question. With the shooter yesterday, we find out usually afterwards, when the dust settles down a little bit, that most of these people, kids, it's usually been kids, are on some sort of psychiatric drugs. What does that do to the mind exactly that they snap like this? And this kind of a loaded question, but what can you add about that? These drugs, the counter effects, the harmful effects that would make somebody perhaps, you know, want to go out and encourage them to do any kind of harmful things.
Well, you know what you're always hoping is that the drugs prevent this. So the question is, was she not on, or any of these shooters not getting care, and that's why they resort to this? Or were they on medications and then don't take medications? Because the whole point of psychiatric medications is to prevent these outbursts, violent outbursts, not to cause them. That's the whole point of trying to get people into care, is not to cause something bad, but to prevent something bad.
It's such a sad story, and there's so many children, you know, having psychiatric breaks right now and all of this with the medication. Where can people, I know you do a lot of writing and lecturing, can they follow any of your writings somewhere?
You know, I publish pretty much in the medical journals. So unless you want to get bored to death and read a medical journal, I don't think you're going to find me anywhere.
Oh, come on. We love that at State of the Nation. Okay, we're going to have to let you go. We thank you, Dr.
Andemayo
Ritchie.
Much.
Thank you for all of your help, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Good luck with everything. Thank you.
This is today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
With his expert analysis and opinion,
this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Once again, the media got way out over their skis. We've got that drumpf now! And then once they find out, maybe not, they've got to distract, so we have to have a school shooting, and not one, but two train derailments. The pattern has become so unmistakable as to almost be a cliche. Anytime they've got bad news on the horizon, they need to distract people from the truth. We have a school shooting, we have an airplane flying into a food processing factory, we have train derailments and associated environmental disasters. We have anything big and flashy and bloody. If it bleeds, it leads. Meanwhile, Stumblebum Joe yucks it up with kids in the East Room when he's supposed to be addressing the school shooting, leaving it to Corinne Jean-Pierre to voice the plaintive Democrat refrain, "How many more children need to die before Republicans pass the assault weapons ban?" Even though the previous assault weapons ban passed in the Clinton administration not only didn't save any lives, it cost lives. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. And unfortunately for America, we're seeing all too much of it lately. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
As an Olympic athlete, I prepare for everything. So when I became pregnant, I thought I was ready. But at 32 weeks, I was diagnosed with severe preeclampsia and had an emergency C-section. Looking back, had I known the warning signs, I would have talked to my doctor sooner. Too many women die of pregnancy-related complications, and most are preventable. If you or someone you know is pregnant or recently had a baby, learn the warning signs. It could help save her life. Hear her.
You're with Brian McLean, Dan Mitchell, and Lynn Shaw, and State of the Nation
on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, our guest is co-author of a book called Parallel Election, A Blueprint for Deception. And this is the book that unequivocally proves how the 2020 election was stolen in Pennsylvania. And if you don't have a copy yet, you should really pick one up and read it and then look at the lessons learned in there and then look back at the 2022 midterm elections and go back and listen to any interviews that we've done here at TNT with our guest for more details about that. He's also the co-founder of Patriot.online, a digital privacy ecosystem and social media platform. And he's a technology leader, a data scientist. He's been CEO, CTO, and CIO for multiple corporations. And he has extensive experience in computer science and computer security and fraud investigations. He's a former U.S. Naval officer. And he's got a pretty amazing bio. I could go on, but if you're a regular listener around here, you know this man. His name is Gregory Stenstrom. Gregory, welcome back. And I'm joined by Lynn Shaw and Dan Mitchell.
Thank you for having me back. It's good to be here. And I'm looking forward to the conversation today.
As am I, sir. I always enjoy our conversations. Well, actually, they leave me a little bit frustrated sometimes, quite frankly, because of the topic. But you always are a calm, sensible, logical voice on this topic in a media environment that does not allow those typically. But we do here at State of the Nation and on TNT. So I want to talk a little bit about John Fetterman. There are articles running around. I started seeing them late last week, and there are more coming out day by day here. And as Kristen Taylor reported earlier at Gateway Pundit, no one has seen any video of John Fetterman, Democrat from Pennsylvania, speaking or moving since he was admitted to the psych ward at Walter Reed National Military Medical Center in Bethesda. That was back on February 15, and they're saying that he was admitted for treatment of severe clinical depression in the wake of the stroke that he suffered before the midterm elections. But things have gotten a little bit strange here, Greg, and some people are out there claiming that the newest photos of John Fetterman are not the same guy. So first off, maybe you could help us address that, because I know this was really catching wildfire out there on social media. So I'd like to get your opinion on this. People are saying, claiming that the guy we're seeing now is a body double. I mean, it's gotten to this point.
Well, the first thing, and I did mention it in the book, the parallel election, and as a professional in the subject of fraud, the first rule is don't believe everyone, assume everyone's lying. So the first thing that when I look at, I looked at the pictures and I looked at the claims and I said, well, who would benefit from this? Could it be a lie? Could it be something that was put out to make the, you know, Republicans look stupid or crazy or QAnon-ish? So I always look at things a little differently, I think, than most other people. And I assume it's a lie. And then I work backwards from there. I work to disqualify something. But with that said, I did look at the pictures, not only out of curiosity, but to see if there was some veracity to the claim that it was different. And I'll say that it's a little alarming when you look at the pictures, because there is a difference between the geometry of the face. The ears are different in the geometry of the face. The eyes are definitely different. The eyes in the new pictures are much lower set than the eyes in the older pictures. And then the geometry of the nose and the mouth are different too. The noses are very similar, if not, you know, I wouldn't call them identical, but there's a geometry and there's a space between the mouth and the nose and then the nose and the eyes and the, you know, so they put a side by side, they split the face and they split the two faces. And, given the fact that we haven't heard from him since really the 15th, the last anyone heard was Fetterman's chief of staff was Adam Gentleson. And he said on March 6th, which is now, you know, almost a month ago, that, you know, Fetterman will be back soon. I'd say there's some veracity to the fact that they may just be putting a picture of a doppelganger. So I don't know what to believe at this point, but I know he's incapacitated and he should be answering some questions in terms of his fitness for office.
Yeah, I really appreciate your investigative angle there. I felt the same way about this one. I'm very wary of what I like to call conspiracy candy. I believe that many times propagandists will put out fake things that they know that many people will gravitate towards with a certain analysis upon seeing it. And I also flagged up with CeCe and John last year pictures of Fetterman that were taken. They've gone to great lengths with him to manage his perception and his persona. And we found pictures of him that were either altered or taken with a weird fishy lens to actually squish him a little bit, you know? So, but I've been looking at pictures like you today, and I'm spotting some red flags here for sure. But I'm glad I'm not alone in my analysis where it's like, I'm wary of gravitating toward the theories that we can't prove, but they are valid theories considering the situation. So that's kind of where I left it. What do you think, Dan?
Well, I saw some of those side-by-side photo comparisons, and I just assumed somebody found a picture of someone who looked like Fetterman, put them side-by-side, and as you said, they threw it out there for the fun of it because some people would instantly think, oh, conspiracy, there's something strange going on. My view is always to assume that there's not a conspiracy. Having been in Washington for 40 years, just corruption and self-interest and things like that explain 99% of how Washington behaves. So I assume Fetterman is just incapacitated. He's not ready to be rolled out to the public. And somebody was just having some fun by finding a photo of someone who looks like him.
Let me just jump in. We heard Elvis is alive. And do you remember fairly recently about Ruth Bader Ginsburg? Everybody said she was dead. Unless he got his ears pinned back, the strangest thing is it does not look like the same person. But I don't want to even go there. The question I do ask, though, we're questioning all of this. Where are the people in Pennsylvania? Why aren't they demanding more? He represents them. Let's see him. What is going on? Let's find out. I don't hear anybody asking those questions who lives in Pennsylvania.
Well, I live in Pennsylvania. And
well, you're asking them.
We're asking. But I think part of the and everyone here, you know, alluded to it, you know, that things have gotten so crazy. I mean, 20 years ago, people would have said, you know, you're crazy. But the outrages that they try to pass off day after day after day, the outrageous news that comes out, and you listen to them, and you know, I just saw something. It was a joke. It was a meme. And it said, you know, men are more masculine who wear makeup. And, you know, someone that looked like Boy George or something from the 80s said, you know, that's more masculine now. And you just, the outrageous lies of the media have gotten so out of hand that we have to look at these pictures now and go, I can't tell what the truth is anymore, especially from the media, the Fourth Estate, which has just abandoned all sorts of news. I don't know. For example, how many Pennsylvania residents are demanding action? I know the Pennsylvania Senate has made inquiries that the Pennsylvania, you know, the Congress, and there's Republican congressmen of the, and senators that have made inquiries and said, hey, listen, this guy is only one of 100 senators, U.S. senators, you know, one of the most, you know, senior positions in the country and in the Congress, and he's absent without leave. He's been gone. He got put into office. He's, you know, his chief of staff is introducing legislation as if he's okay. So he says, wait a minute, this guy's introducing legislation. And as far as we know, the guy's incapacitated. Maybe even, you know, if he's not dead, there's somebody walking around that looks like him. These are legitimate questions nowadays. And I'm tired of being gaslighted. And Pennsylvania citizens don't know what to think anymore because you can't get anything out of the news.
So you're saying, yeah, Greg, that people are, I'm sorry, Brian, people are just habituated.
That's okay.
No, they're just habituated that they're being hit every day, which I, of course, think is, you know, always a plan. And I don't like to think like that. There's always a plan. But this is the strangest story in the world. And I am convinced someday, and not too far off from now, we are going to see either an AI kind of president, or, you know, vice president, or some sort of virtual reality, or an incapacitated person who's has a computer that runs their brain. Because I think this demands answers, John Fetterman. I thought you had to be in Washington with those votes. Nobody has seen him.
Yeah, well, they wanted to kick Donald Trump out of office when he wasn't able to hold a glass of water with one hand. And this guy, you know, Schumer's up there saying, oh, we need to give him time to recover. It's all fine and good. You know, they're covering for him. And Dan, just to address what you said real quick, those pictures are from Fetterman's social media accounts, or his wife's. I'm not sure. So those were, you know, officially chosen by the Fetterman family and those that do PR for them as what they were going to put out. So we know that much, that is the claim. And there are some people speculating, maybe you can clear this up for me a little bit, Greg. There's some people saying that if Fetterman were to resign or become incapacitated, that Pennsylvania's governor, Josh Shapiro, would appoint a replacement who would then face a special election in 2024. And I'm seeing rumors going around and theories that they're going to play this game until August, because then they're more protected in not having a Republican win in a special election. Can you address that a little bit?
We've heard the exact same thing. It was a discussion. You know, I was at a meeting last night with people who are working on elections and campaigns and, you know, involved in politics. And that was the theory that was settled on is they're waiting, and Shapiro will wait. I mean, you got to look at this guy in terms of representation. He's missed, I just looked it up, he's missed 53 of 64 roll calls. And, you know, he's missed votes for, you know, he's well beyond the lifetime record for missed votes for all current senators. So this guy is absent. He's not representing the people. And that suits the Shapiro, certainly. And it suits the Democrats, because they can just vote for him, or they can act as if he's not there, and they still maintain the majority. So I think that he is, I don't think he's going to die, but, you know, at some point he's going to say, hey, I'm incapacitated. And then there'll be a runoff, and they want to protect that spot for a Democrat. Don't want to take the chance that a Republican could beat them. I think that's exactly the game.
Let me ask a question. Are they allowed to proxy vote for him? I thought you had to be present on the Senate floor to vote. At least that's the way it was decades ago when I was a Senate staffer.
He's missed what he's done is he's missed the votes, but it's as if, you know, he's not there. They can, but they have introduced legislation for him. So that's beyond pale in terms of how can you introduce legislation for someone who's supposedly incapacitated, and they can still continue to enjoy their majority while he's bedridden, and not take the chance of a special election.
Well, if the Senate was 50-50 and Fetterman wasn't able to be on the floor, then yes, Republicans could take over, notwithstanding Kamala Harris's theoretical tie-breaking vote. But Republicans would do the same thing in the opposite situation. If there was some Republican who was ill and couldn't get to the Senate floor. I mean, so I don't blame the Democrats for playing politics. And given Fetterman's left-wing orientation, I'm glad he's not there voting. It probably helps in some close votes not to have him there. So I'm all in favor of left-wingers not being on the Senate floor as much as possible.
Right.
Greg, I want to jump in, and I say this, you know, with all due respect, do you think we'll ever really see any kind of, given everything that happened in Pennsylvania with the election, do you ever think we'll see any kind of real change in the election process? What are your feelings about this?
Yes,
that was just criminal there, what was going on.
Yes, I do. I think it's changing over time, and it wasn't enough. You know, we still have multiple lawsuits in progress. Our case, we asked for rehearing and reconsideration from the Supreme Court. They're hearing that on Friday, the rehearing. It's in there. It's docket 22-503. We've also posted on Patreon online in its full capacity, but we requested a rehearing on what they call fungible justiciability, which means the courts won't hear cases they don't want to hear, and they'll dismiss and quash cases that they don't want as a matter of public record. It's 270 pages, of which the majority is the cases that they've dismissed or quashed and tried to strike from the record with all the evidence that we've submitted. So that's still going. The Commonwealth Court cases are going at the Commonwealth appellate level. We've got multiple cases at the Common Pleas level, at the county level. And we're filing new cases in this current election because they continue to not comply with the law. And in terms of things happening, you know, the GOP here, which we attacked with as much vigor as we did the DNC, we call them a uniparty. They've resigned from their positions. We've got people running for cover. We've got the Delco County, the county administrator resigned and departed early. So we have people that are somewhat concerned. And eventually, when we do get to the courts and they keep mooting, they call it mooting the cases, as they keep dismissing cases. We're now at a point.
We're going to have to let you go in a few seconds here, Greg. I'm sorry, but I appreciate the update on the cases. Definitely. Thank you. And thanks. We will speak again very soon.